By the way, the word security in Latin, securitas, is a bad word for Augustine. It means complacency. We shouldn't have complacency. Hope, but not certainty. But for Calvin, it's a good word, right? We should have security. It's part of the assurance and comfort of the faith that we can be confident that we will be saved in the end, right? That God's not going to take it away from us. We're not going to fall from the faith. Well, then, what about the people who believe and then later on abandon the faith? Right? That happens. Calvin has to deal with that phenomenon. What does he say about it? Well, you can predict. True faith, Calvin says, is permanent faith. Right? There's such a thing as temporary faith, but that's not true Christian faith. And this temporary faith does not save you. Right? Only the permanent faith saves you, but that's true faith. So if you abandon the faith later, that shows that you never really had true, genuine Christian faith to begin with. But you can see that this is going to introduce a new anxiety. Do I have true faith? It seems to me that I believe, but maybe it's a temporary faith. How do I know that I have the true faith that's permanent? There's no escape from anxiety in this life, but there are different ways of being anxious, which we'll talk about. So, this Calvinist move of trying to get eternal security by knowing for sure that you have the true faith, right, that you're going to hang on forever, produces, I think, a number of changes in Calvinist theology that make it different from Lutheran theology and make Calvinist theology distinctively Protestant. I've been suggesting that Luther is not quite as Protestant as other Protestants. Well, here, when we get to Calvin, I think we get to the guy who really creates distinctively Protestant theology. Calvin is more Protestant than Luther. And this thing about predestination gets us to the point of understanding why. Right, suppose you're in this situation. Now, you want to know that you have true faith, right? Not just temporary faith, but true faith that's going to save you eternally because you know that you're going to persevere, right? Everyone who gets true faith gets the gift of perseverance, right? Everyone who gets true faith is saved eternally because that you know that you're going to persevere because you know you have true faith, and therefore you know you're saved, and therefore you know you're predestined to be saved because everyone who's saved is predestined. But how do you know this? Well, one of the things that results from this pressure to find out whether you have true faith is that the Calvinist tradition tends to be focused more and more on justification as a single event in your life, a single event of conversion, right? For Luther, justification happens every time your sins are forgiven, right? You should be constantly repenting, returning to your baptism, so conversion happens all the time. Conversion means turning to God. You should always be turning to God over and over and over again, many, many times in your life. So justification for Luther happens many, many times. Same way in Catholicism. In Catholicism, every time your sins are forgiven in the sacrament of penance, for instance, that's justification. It happens many times in life. Conversion happens many times in life, whenever you turn your heart to God. Whereas in the Protestant tradition, conversion tends to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. Why? Because if you know that this event has happened to you, right? Conversion to the true faith of Christ, now you know you have true faith. Now you know you're saved. So knowing that you're converted means knowing that you're saved, because knowing that you're saved has to mean knowing that you're predestined to be saved. That pressure towards a once-in-a-lifetime conversion theology is, I think, generated by the Calvinist doctrine of predestination, and particularly the Calvinist emphasis that you're supposed to know you're predestined. In substance, there's no great difference between Calvin's doctrine of predestination and Luther's. What's different is Calvin's insistence you're supposed to know that you're predestined. Luther occasionally suggests this. I've read in the previous lecture some letters where Luther suggests, well, you can know you're predestined, but he's inconsistent about it. And I think ultimately Luther can't be consistent on this point, and I'll get to that in a second. Let's explore one more point in the Calvinist doctrine of eternal security. You know, remember, here's this new anxiety. A new and distinctively Calvinist anxiety, right? How do I know I have true faith? Right? Augustine doesn't have this anxiety. Luther doesn't have this anxiety. Calvinists have this anxiety. How do I know I have true faith? There's two possible answers. One is represented most strongly in the Dutch Calvinist tradition, where you say, I know I have true faith because I can see evidence of a changed life in my life. I live differently. I live in a more holy life. Right? Now you can see the danger here. There's always dangers in every theology, and here's one danger. If living a holy life is your evidence that you have true faith, then once again, your security, your comfort, your assurance comes from good works, comes from how you live. You know, it's another way of being justified by good works. Even though you say you're justified by faith alone, it's the good works of your life that assure you that you're really going to be saved. That's a terrible trap.